That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant. Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is Saturday morning, November 5th, 2000. 22. We welcome you here. We thank you for joining us, and we've got a full house this morning. Jason, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Brother Zach, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And Brother Paul, thank you for joining us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Remnant, hope you have a good cup of coffee with you this morning. We say good morning to you as well, from sea to shining sea, pretty early on the West Coast, if you're joining us, and maybe you've had time for a little breakfast on the East Coast. That's how that goes. But we do thank you for joining us this morning, and we'll have the phone lines open if you want to give us a call. And but we're going to open up in prayer. Jason, we'd ask if you would open us up in prayer this morning, sir.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just ask, Father, that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in all that we do. We pray that you shine your face down upon us and that you give us wisdom, strength, knowledge, and an understanding, that you assist us in the battles that are before us, and we ask that you just be there just to give us the guidance that we need. We cry out to you for you to save America again. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. Getting reports, the Volume 8 newsletter, Strength of a Hero, is getting delivered. Got some delivered in Texas yesterday that I heard about. So if you're on that list, you should be getting that in your hand. And it's... we touch base on Pastor's message from years ago entitled that very thing, Strength of a Hero and the Warrior Psalm. It is encouraging if you'll read it. It uses scripture to explain why things are the way they are. And just this little, this reprint from this little pamphlet, I think does more to answer questions that many true Christians have, as well as give encouragement. And so I recommend it. If you'd like more, we printed some extra. We can send you some extra ones. We also have this as in a pamphlet form, Strength of a Hero and the Warrior Song. And so we hope it's a blessing to you. So it should be, like I said, we got some delivered, at least some in Texas yesterday, and we'll see how that goes across the nation. And we encourage you, let us know when you get that.
Yeah, and want to let the remnant know, too, that we are calling for a day of fasting coming up on November 7th from noon until Wednesday, November 9th, noon. And we encourage everybody out there to cry out to God for grace, mercy, compassion, that he finds his people that are called by his name, Christian followers of Jesus Christ, worthy to escape the things that are coming, and for God to save America again. And so if you can do that, we are encouraging it. We're going to be sending some emails out on it. And keep that in your prayers. Keep that in your mind. I know there's going to be a lot of people that are they're working and stuff like that, but I was talking with John just last night, and we just really felt like it was something that needs to be done. And so encourage people to do that. And that's coming up next week, November 7th through the 9th, noon to noon.
Amen. Amen. Fasting and prayer works. It's as simple as that. It is. We see it throughout the scriptures. And many have done it and realize that it works. I don't know.
Yeah, we see. I mean, there's so many things that are going on right now. Then there's the climate summit, which is coming up, and they're hosting it at Mount Sinai. And you know, just some of this stuff. Egypt's Mount Sinai, just a hop, skip, and a jump from Israel, is the site most commonly known as where God appeared to Moses to give him the Ten Commandments, the primary covenant in Judaism, as well as the foundation of most other religions and many modern-day laws. Now this mountain will have a venue for many nations to gather to receive their newest creed, emanating from the world's highest and most exalted religion of climate change. And so the climate summit is going to assemble at Mount Sinai and give what they are calling the UN new Ten Commandments. And this is we're getting to the point where this is the battle of the gods. I mean, it's they're warring against God as far as I'm concerned, and it's a big deal. And you see stuff like this going on. We definitely need it's a time for prayer and fasting.
Amen. Yeah, some people are having an awakening to the harsh truth of part of the answer to this climate change that the world puts out are on these electric vehicles. I had a headline this morning: first time EV owner shares a cautionary tale after it takes him 15 hours to drive 178 miles. And the article talks about this. Yeah, he talks about this guy. He buys a little electric vehicle, a little all electric Nissan Leaf, and thought he was ready to take cross country drive. Hey, I can do this on the cheap. And normally 178 miles might take a couple hours, 2.5 hours, something like that. 15 hours later. He says, I was rudely awakened when I determined that the charging wasn't as rapid as people would lead you to believe, likely the dealers. He said, I think people like myself, we go into it a bit blindly. Now, isn't at least recognizing that, even if it's after the fact, I think that's a step. And I think this is representative of that. But at least he blames it. He says, you know, it's part user error. He said part of it was my fault, and part of it was inadequate infrastructure that, you know. But he talks about how the apps that they have that tell them where the chargers are and how much it is and when they're open and all that, those were wrong. But he talks about having to stop twice each day, plug in, charge up his phone, his car, and it just didn't work. Is basically the bottom line. It didn't work, and it is, but I these couple terms in here, you know, faced with the harsh truth, you know, he'd been sold and he bought a sack of lies. But when he went to use it, then he learned about it. We got a caller. Good morning, caller. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
This is Floyd in South Dakota again.
Good morning, Floyd.
This subject about the darn EVs, I picked this up about a year ago. The total design to go a total electric vehicle seemed obvious to me, is so that you don't travel across the nation. You stay in your little area.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. But I may be wrong on this, but I like the idea of the electric hybrid with the option to, in other words, this is the premium version of the electric hybrid I saw advertised by Jeep. If you get the premium version of the electric hybrid, it will charge while you're driving.
Well, Floyd, that's how, you know, Toyota in the United States, Toyota came out with the hybrid, and I know it's almost a curse word, Prius. I think it's been 20 or 22 years ago, and they've perfected it over the years. And so the ones now, the new ones, they are actually getting right at 55 to 60 miles per gallon combined between their gas and their hybrid electric vehicle. I agree with you. I think that that's feasible, that technology, you know, you ease into it. You still have an internal combustion engine that will get you where you need to go. But as it's driving, it's charging the battery. When you're braking, it's charging the battery. That works. That works. But to have an electric vehicle, whether it's a Nissan Leaf or just the plug-ins or the Teslas or whatever, very limited in range. They've tried to apply it to the trucks and things like that. No towing capacity, no torque like a diesel, you know, no range whatsoever. And so that's not working yet. Oh, they're talking about it. Yeah, by 2035, we expect blah, blah, blah. But it's not happening. And it's all just theory and pixie dust.
Right.
You know, it really is. But it's just how Babylon is.
There's another one though that you don't see advertised. But I actually had someone tell me a few years back that a Porsche invented an all electric vehicle that has a double battery system, that it charges itself and can go forever. typed that one, though.
Yeah, there's technology that could be used. You know, you think why couldn't you have on the non-drive wheels? Why couldn't you have like a small sealed alternator that creates electricity, just like an alternator on your car driven by a fan belt does? And so, it's not that they drive this by. It's driven by logic and need. It's driven by greed and, like you said, control. That really is a big part of this because, if you've got even a 300-mile range on electric vehicles and you don't want people, say, to get 300 miles outside of San Francisco or Atlanta, you just cut the grid off and the electric vehicles are only going to go so far and that's it.
Right.
And,
all right, I'll yield with that and let more people get in. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Floyd. Have a great day. 307-745-5913. That seems to be a common thought on these, is that more and more people are seeing through that it's not to fight climate change, but it's all about control for these electric vehicles and this big green push.
Maybe they'll see through their preacher one of these days.
Let's hope so. That's what we pray, isn't it?
There's deception wherever you look.
Well, I was on a job a few days ago. And we were taking down some trees in this lady's backyard, and she's having her deck rebuilt. And the guy that's rebuilding the deck, he shows up, and I went up to the front by our trucks, and I looked on the back of his I didn't say anything. I looked on the back of his topper door, and he had one of those stickers on there that says "An Appeal to Heaven" with the pine tree on it. So that dude walks by, and I says to him, I'm like, "Hey," and he's like, "What's up?" And he had a very heavy Eastern European accent, and I go, "Where'd you get that sticker?" And he's like, "Oh, I don't remember. I think I got it at Amazon or whatever." And he goes, "Do you know what that sticker means?" I go, "I know exactly what that sticker means." And we get to talking a little bit, and turns out that guy, I believe he was from Czechoslovakia. He grew up underneath pretty hardcore communism. And he's over there talking about, you know, how great this country is and this and that. And I asked him, I go, "What do you think about what's going on in this country as far as politics?" He goes, "Well, I think it's a demonic attack." He's like, "I think it's a satanic attack." And I sat there and I listened to him for a little while. But and he's not affiliated with us. But he understood who Esau was. He understood who Israel was. I just sat back and I listened. I just sat there and I listened. I didn't say anything. And I invited him to church. And I was telling him, "Man, they got some good speakers in church on Sunday morning." And I go, "You should go there. I think you would really like going to church on Sunday morning. It's an internet church." And he said, "Yeah, I'll check that out." But, you know, when I got done talking with that man, I was sitting there thinking about it. He understood what tyranny is. He understood what Jack Moore used to say about having the boot in your face as far as politics goes. And, you know, he's happy to be here. And I would kind of disagree with him on some of the politics, but, you know, that's okay, because, you know, we're both working attempting to work in the rules that God gave us to work in, and we don't have to agree on everything. But I was really encouraged talking to that guy. And then one of the other guys walks up, he's like, "What are you guys talking about?" I'm like, "We're talking about that sticker." And he goes, "What's that sticker mean?" And I go, "Well, it's kind of like being in the army. And then once you're out, you see a guy that's got a division patch that you were in, you just know, you know. And I left it at that, and the guy left. And it was good. So, you know, hopefully that dude shows up and starts listening. But you know, there again, he was no dummy. He was self-educated. He did all of his own research. And I could tell by listening to him that he knew more than 99.9% of the people that I come into contact with. And it was very encouraging. So, you know, for those out there that think, oh, you know, keep laboring, because every once in a while you run into some dude, you just never know what's going on between somebody's ears.
Yeah, isn't that encouraging, Zach, when you see somebody like that, you meet somebody like that, it lets you know you're not alone, you know, that, and like you said, I like how you said he's not affiliated with our ministry, you know, he's not tuning in on shortwave or church or whatever yet, but he's out there, God's got him, he understands, and you know, he's not hesitant to share those truths, with people that ask. Isn't that what you always say, Paul? You know, you ask questions. If people will ask questions and try to think, that opens up a whole new door. It really does. And so, but well, that's sure encouraging, Zach. It is. It's it's neat that God's got his remnant out there.
The thing of it is, truth is truth. And, you know, it doesn't need to be, you know, this ministry prides itself on being as truthful as we possibly can. But it doesn't need truth. It stands by itself. And, you know, if you know, you know. And it doesn't need to be protected or, you know, it doesn't need us. It's the truth. And you can take it or leave it. It's right or wrong. And he knew a lot of right things. And, you know, it didn't, you know, he didn't need to be ashamed by it. He didn't need to be convinced. He already was.
Amen.
You know, I think he understood that I already knew. But it's the truth. And it stands alone. Whether it's coming from me or you or anybody else, it's the truth. You know? So I just liked it. I was just really happy talking, having that 10 minutes talking with them.
Amen.
Well, the Bible says he who dwells on the law cannot be moved. You know, this guy has dwelled on the law. He's not movable. He knows what he's talking about. When you talk to somebody, he knows what they're talking about. They don't hesitate or think. And just like us, you know, when you first learn about we're the children of God, you have a little bit of pride piles up. Well, you have superior knowledge of that, but then when the work sets in, you know, sometimes, well, I wish everybody know this, because it's war. But no, you cannot go back. There's just no one going back once you know the truth. And we don't know how many's out there. And Prophet thought he was the only one. There were 7,000 that didn't bow their knee to Baal. No, we don't know who's out there, and it's pretty exciting when you see somebody that has nothing to do with this and knows the same story. So, yeah, and you cannot understand prophecy until you know who the players are. That's the biggest weakest link in this whole picture, is knowing who you are, and that the children of the devil do exist.
Yep.
Yeah, and like you said, Zach, when you meet people from Eastern European countries, I met a man at one of our conferences from Poland that grew up, like you said, this guy did from Czechoslovakia, that grew up in Poland underneath communist rule. And, you know, when you meet those people, and if you'll listen to them and hear the truths that they'll share with you, like you said, they understand tyranny. They understand the things that we've heard about. Many times they've experienced them, and they've seen them firsthand. And, you know, there's a testimony that's there many times. And it's hard to argue with that. It is. If you're going to believe truth, and it just further cements it, further verifies it, the things that we have heard. and the things that we see in the world, maybe not firsthand, but you know, the destruction of Venezuela that we've seen in the news, as they've gone to full socialism, as well as the full blown invasion of Europe. But it is different when you can talk to somebody that's lived through it, that has seen it, and they see it here many times. They see it just, you know, the handwriting on the wall, so to speak, and they see it being forced down the throats of Americans today and for the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
We took a hook, line, and sinker because we didn't have to participate in this system.
That's right. Well, Paul, that's why I thought when I saw this article, this guy says here he was faced with the harsh truth after he only drove 178 miles in 15 hours. You know, can you imagine? He's bought this new little $30,000 car. And thinking, now I'm it. Now I'm answering the problem of climate change. Now I'm helping out with the problem instead of contributing to the problem. This is what everybody should be doing. You know, that's what he's thinking as he starts on his trip. But then 15 hours later, and only, you know, not even from here to Denver, he's thinking, oh, man, this ain't what I thought it was. The harsh truth. Yeah, he swallowed it hook, line, and sinker too. They went into it blindly, I think is how it says here. Yeah, he says, I think people like myself, we go into it a bit blindly. You know, that's putting it mildly. But you're absolutely right. That's what people have done. They've bought this what's been sold to them, which is a pack of lies. It's not a lifestyle, it's a death style. That applies to many different things, but that's how it is. And they bought into it a bit blindly, like this guy said. And they're going to get awakened. They're going to get awakened. That rooster is trying to wake some people up right now. I can hear him in the background.
I know, I was going to pop him with my kid's airsoft gun, but the battery's dead.
Oh, that's all right.
So I apologize about that, guys.
No, not at all. That lets people know. This is live radio, and it's not, you know, with some big production crew and sound rooms and all that. It's just life, that's for sure. It is. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. Still hearing, you know, ups and downs left and right on this so-called diesel shortage. Don't know if the media is just repeating what others are saying, but, you know, when you have Forbes and the Economic Times and Newsweek and oilprice.com all not just repeating the same story, but reporting on the oil shortages that, you know, since the Russia-Ukraine mess started, we have not been importing like we were before. 700,000 barrels of oil a day from Russia. You know, after April, May, June, July, August, September, October, after 7 months, that kind of makes an impact. Refineries, many are shut down. Many have been sold. We reported on one there in Texas that Shell sold to Mexico early this year. And now they're refining Mexican oil, and the gas and diesel is going back to Mexico. It's right on the Texas border. You couple that with the labor shortage that we all see, and it kind of makes sense that, yeah, I can see how there could be an upcoming shortage. Part of that change for America.
I noticed that just recently, I think it was posted yesterday, it was pretty interesting because some of the mainstream sites, well, I call it mainstream, but InfoWars posted a video that they did, and it was called The Hidden History of the Khazar Kingdom. And it was a pretty decent video, but it's what really got me with the comments that were on that, and how many people, I mean, how many people really understand that there is a problem and the Jewish connection to everything from the media to their takeover to their money schemes. And it was, I got more of a kick out of reading the comments than I did on watching the video. And, you know, one of them, I mean, starting off, I'm just going to read a couple of them, but the Khazar in Yiddish means swine, and not only are the Khazars not Ashkenazis, they are complete and utterly opposite. People talking about them in the media, people quoting quotes from 1921, people quoting the Protocols of Zion, people quoting this and that, but it's, I mean, for something like that just to be on InfoWars to begin with is rather interesting. But, I mean, it also tells you that, you know, maybe part of this spell is being broken, too. And that's what we've been praying for, and praying for people to wake up. And, you know, it's very possible that that's just part of it.
Yeah, they got Kanye West's attention, didn't they?
Yep, they did.
I mean, they got his attention. They shut him down like turning off a light switch. You know, I saw a thing that said 70% of his wealth was tied to that Adidas contract, and Adidas said, see you later, bud. We don't want nothing to do with you. And so, which just verified everything that he was putting out against the Khazar Jews, that they run everything, they control everything, that when you sign up with them through Hollywood or whatever, that they own you, and they tell you what you can do and what you can't. And when he spoke against them, buddy, they just flipped the switch, which just proves that he was right with all that, but we'll see where that goes. It is interesting, Jason, like you said, that these things are coming out a little bit here, a little bit there, but I think they are waking people up a little bit at a time.
Well, they're getting out of their comfort zone. Everything they believe going down the tube, you know, they trusted their government, they trusted everybody, well, the news media, remember when Pastor Peter was doing that radio program and the guy said, well, you can talk anything you want. And he did, and then they shut him right off like a flip a switch, too. So
yeah,
they'll let you put dirt as long as you want until you start, you know, identifying the players and baptism and all the other simple stuff. they'll let you play church. They like you to play church, but they don't like it when they identify them.
Yeah. Yeah, Remnant, if you want that CD by Pastor Peters, I think it's, My Experience with Jewish Power? I think it's part one, part two, if I remember right. It's an oldie. It is. It was early in his career. But yeah, they're on live radio, and it's great. The interviewer tells Pastor, this is my show. I can talk about anything here. And Pastor tried to warn him. He did, out of Christian love. Nah, buddy, this is not somewhere you want to go, he said. Oh, yeah. And Pastor started talking about it and some truths. And on the next break, the interviewer was called out by the station manager. And when he came back, his face was white and said, this interview's over. Goodbye. And so, yeah, that's just how it is. That is how it is. Phone lines are open, folks. 307-745-5913. If you'd like to give us a call.
Yeah, I really think, like, across this, you know, there are the lines are definitely being drawn. And if you are on one side, more commie, I would say, left, liberal, you know, you're there. If you're on the other side, you know, those people, which are, they are waking up and seeing just the level of, how do I want to put this? Like they understand that they are being infiltrated. And there are a lot of people that never thought that they would get involved in politics are now getting involved in politics. There are a lot of people that never thought that they would be running for school board because of all the trash that these, you know, these CARES are introducing into the public school system. They're fighting back. And, you know, these are all good signs. And they've had enough. Like the conservative, what you would call Christian, you know, your white Anglo-Saxons, I really believe they're waking up. And they are starting to push back. And, you know, it's a great time to be alive. And, you know, I really, like, I hope, like, in my area, like, school boards are literally just completely changed out, you know, because of the stuff that these people have allowed to be in these school systems. And there's a lot of parents that are waking up. Like, I didn't vote for years. This year, I've changed my mind. I am voting. I'm voting for people that I know. I'm voting for people like, you know, because if we don't change the course that we're on, it's not about me. It's about the future that my kids get to live in. And what kind of society are they going to be able to raise their kids? That's what it's about. I was talking with this liberal lady the other day, and she's talking about how victimized, you know, the conservatives are, you know, victimizing all these people, and they just want women in the kitchen barefoot and pregnant and all this stuff. And I was like, you know, it's not my fault that you don't know the rules about business and all this stuff. And I started telling her about disadvantaged business owners and how they get a front seat on all the DOT, the Department of Transportation projects and all this stuff. I'm like, you don't know the rules. It's already there laid out for you. You're just too stupid and lazy to go take it. You already have an advantage of me, but you're still complaining, you know? And people aren't going to tolerate those kind of things for much longer. That's my opinion. That's what I see going on, and I think it's great. So I am going to vote this year. You know, I'm voting Tuesday because we need to, and like a lot of the people I personally know and I've met. I never met a politician until last year because things have to change. And like one of the things that lady said, she's like, I vote what can better my life. That tells me she has a heart issue because she's not worried about the community around her and being, she's worried about her. She's not worried about the generations to come. And that tells me, and like, that's not the kind of people that I want to win because they're self-centered. You know, does any of that make any sense?
Not
yeah, exactly. It makes a lot of sense. And yeah. I think that's what, you know, we need to worry about. We've had a lot of selfish people. They're worried about putting more money in their pocket. They're more worried about them. They're not worried about their children or their grandchildren or their great-grandchildren or anything like that. They're not worried about this country. They're not worried about the slavery that's coming in. They're not worried about more laws and more restriction on freedoms. They're not worried about if they're going to take away our Second Amendment rights.
Well, one of the things that lady said about the disadvantaged business owners, she goes, you don't really think that happens. And I'm like, I see contracts all the time that has amendments on it because they have to be put in front of the line. I'm like, it does. It absolutely does. You know, but, you know, it's not my fault she don't know that. I'm not going to, I mean, maybe I educated her too much. But the thing, but, you know, I mean, it's just crap what goes on. You know, it's like you get an advantage because it's because I'm a white male. I get disadvantaged. I'm like, you know, but I'm sorry. Nobody tells me to put my boots on every morning. Nobody tells me to go out there and kill something and drag it home and eat it. Nobody tells I have to survive. You know, I'm not going to rely on anybody. That's the American dream. That's what God offers his people if they obey him. It's so much more than just going to heaven. So I'm done ranting. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's the here and now, and that's what, you know, everybody, you know, they go to church on Sunday, think they're all paid up and prayed up and stuff like that, but what Zach keeps reiterating is that this is the here and now that we're living. We're here till we're gone, and we are to take dominion. I'm talking to a lady this week. She's my age. She don't know nothing about nothing, except she's a nice person, good person, but when she's talking about the times now, she's, what I really worry about is my kids and my grandkids. You know, I said, that's just brilliant. That's the way it should be. You know, and I think a lot of people, a lot of guys this week was telling me, I worry about my grandkids. I said, you know what? The children of Israel came out of Egypt, and only the people under 20, the older ones died because they didn't do what was right, you know? But they said that sets them back, you know, because so many people want to get, oh, I feel sorry for my kids, but I can't wait to get out of here. Yeah. That ain't a real good thought process, I can tell. It's here and now, you know, in this county that I live in, 8 out of 9 commissioners got replaced, and Zach probably knows more about this than I do. It was basically over shutting the country down with COVID is what they irritated them. You know, they didn't have a right to do that. Was that true, Zach?
Well, it's what happened in this county. They, The health department gave the recommendation to the schools to have all the kids mask up after the initial quote-unquote COVID wave hit. And the parents just went ballistic. And the board followed, and they wouldn't tell the schools to lift that mandate to be masked up. So all the kids, like even the private schools, I mean, that's what really got underneath me, because I send my kids to a private school, and here it is. I have no say in what's going on, and I'm freaking paying this crap. And anyways, that's another story. But them commissioners sat there. There was, like, the news was involved. I was actually there. The news was there, and they sat there, and basically all, like, there was thousands. And the news said there was a couple hundred. There was thousands. They were in the parking lot at the county complex. And they were protesting about that mask, and they wouldn't, and like that commissioner basically gave the entire county the finger, like all the parents, like, nope, they'll mask up. And they paid dearly, because there's a lot of those commissioners that were, you know, they were on for so many years, they were going to get a pension. Well, they lost it, you know, and I don't know what kind of backdoor deals was going on with those guys and whoever. But they lost their, like, they, boom, gone, see ya. And, you know, which is a good thing. If you're not, you're supposed to be representing the what's right for, you know, the citizens of that county. And you're over there listening to what some liberal flake has to say. And they lost. They ended up losing. So it was great. So good. And I'm glad. And it needs to keep happening. And hopefully, where I live, it does.
Yeah, you know? I think it's going to happen this week. It's happening this next week, Zach, with elections coming up, because it's we're sure seeing it out here across the country. Guys, we got a couple calls. We got Michael from Sarasota. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Richard and crew. And, yeah, Sarasota, Florida here, and we overturned our board here, school board. So it is happening county by county.
Amen.
The main reason why I called in is that we're always talking the Khazar Jews, the cabal and stuff. But I'm sitting here reading, rereading a book I had, Who is Esau Edom by Charles Weissman, and then The Stolen Birthright and The Coming Destruction from Pastor Peters and stuff, rereading my old libraries. And, you know, it talks about who the bloodline is. To some of the podcasts I listen to, by the way, I listen to you guys every Saturday, the podcasts that I listen to are all starting to talk about the bloodlines, and starting to see the change, I believe, coming from Israel people, our people. And I just don't think it's quite over the hump yet, but I started throwing out, like, where I work, Esau, Edom, and people look at me crazy, and then I kind of explain a little bit, and it gets them to thinking, but I don't go any further than that because it's too much meat for them. But anyways, that's all I was calling about. It's just more of who that bloodline really is. And it shows that it's all up from, you know, the Khazar Jews and all them up in the Russian area and stuff.
Amen. Michael, did you come through the hurricane? Did you guys get through the hurricane okay?
Through it, yes. We're far enough north. We had a lot of branches down, everything like that. But our place is pretty good. Got it all cleaned up and stuff now. So, yeah, we were very fortunate compared to the south of us.
Yeah, I've seen some pictures. Like Jason said, we've got some locals, even from out here in Colorado, that are down there working. And the pictures, are just, you know, the cleanup are still pretty devastating.
Yeah, it's horrendous. And they don't even show as much on our local news anymore like they do the more on the national. It's crazy. So it's like nothing's happened in our part of the county. You know, they redirect the news. So
right.
But, I feel sorry for them. I work with several people that went through the floods and stuff down there, and they've lost their homes, they're getting them rebuilt and stuff like that. So it was really bad.
Wow. Yeah, I think the media.
But I was one of the lucky ones, Richard.
Amen, Michael. Blessed, and I know you are, and I know you know that as well.
Yes, sir.
That's God is the one who directs those things, and I think, like you mentioned, that the local news doesn't carry it. You don't see much of it on the national either. It's out of sight, out of mind for the people, because if they did see it continually, I think they'd pray. You know, they'd pray for those people. They'd ask God to bless them and help them, and they'd pray thanks that it didn't happen to them. You know, thank you, Lord, that we still have our house, that we weren't flooded out, that we didn't lose people in it, and those type of things. And that's one of the reasons the enemy, that like you're talking about, those bloodlines that the enemy has, that they don't report on those things, because they know that the devastation that God is bringing on this nation, when the people see it, when it hits them, they pray. And that leads to the enemy's destruction.
That's a fact.
So they have to keep that gone and keep that away as much as possible.
Yeah. Well, I hear you said you had a couple other people online, so I'll let you go. And like I said, I listen to you guys every Saturday. First time I've called in a couple years, but I had to get that off my chest.
Amen, Michael. Thanks for sharing that with us. God bless.
You bet. Love you guys, and may you all be blessed.
Thank you. God bless. And one other line ringing here. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
I keyed on a couple things that you mentioned today. I'll go with the last first about representation by our politicians. We have not been properly represented by politicians for years, and it kind of goes together with the idea of what's your agenda. It's selfish. And mentioning the idea of the selfishness that the people have been conforming to more and more so every generation. There's a particular show that I like watching called Heartland. And there's one scene in there in season 10 that really catches my attention. Cowboys, you know, that especially ride broncs and so on, they live a very dangerous life. But this one scene catches my attention, and I'm like, I don't think people are doing this today. Cowboys made a pact that if I die on that bronc or wrestling that steer down, if I die, their best friend will take care of their family. I don't think you'll see that today. You know what I'm saying? I'll deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah, Floyd, I think it's Hollywood. You know, they have always done their best to make up this this Hollywood or this Western aura with their shows from the beginning, and it just doesn't always care like that. Carry, it doesn't. Good to hear from you, Floyd. Thanks for the call.
I think what we got is this whole, you know, people go and say they got constitutional rights. I think we got that backwards. That constitution bound government's what it is, and if someone comes to you with that, you're bound by the constitution, don't go there, because that we have to exert our freedom instead of begging for it. And that constitution, Bill of Rights, bound government, they knew how evil government could be. George Washington said they could be his faithful servant or a fearful master. They knew how those people, and we are right now living in what they actually fought to get rid of. So, but we got everything backwards. They have no right to go there. Your school boards, they're begging for, you know, funds from the government. They have, they're getting paper credits so that they can do it. We didn't stand our own 2 feet. We got rid of income tax and insurance, so we would be paving the streets with gold.
Amen.
So we're enslaved by our own stupidity.
Amen. Zach, when you mentioned, you know, you're sending your kids to private school and paying for it and still have no say, you know, when the nominated health officials in the town make a recommendation, you know, that's how they get away. We didn't create a mandate. We didn't make anybody do anything. You know, they backpedal. But when you said, you know, you're paying for it, you know, what do we see when we look at our taxes? You know, anywhere from 70% to 90% goes to school board, to schools, on our county taxes,
yep.
And so, you know, we're paying for the public school, whether your kids go there or not, whether your children go there or not, we're all paying for it. You know, and they look at it as, well, you're going to reap the benefits of us educating those children and making them good members of society, on and on and on. And what a crock that is anymore. But you're right. We are paying for it. Paying for it in every different way. We are. And Paul, you nailed it right. You take those taxes out, and that, what a huge difference. Well, guys, we are just about out of time. Any closing comments?
We said it all.
There you go. Well, guys, I'll remind you, Remnant, what Jason brought up early in the program. We are calling for a fast Monday at noon through Wednesday at noon, basically. It's election time across the country. You heard a lot of that mentioned here. And our encouragement, our recommendation is to fast and pray. And so we encourage you to do that. We also invite you to join us at church tomorrow. We're planning on starting up at 8:30 in the morning Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, at 7:30 on the West Coast, a little earlier out there, but starting out with a scriptural review, where we'll have a timeless pulpit truth message. We're in the middle of the Law series by Pastor Peters, and if that's ever been needed, it is needed right here in November of 2022 in this nation. And we'll have a new message for you after that, give you the opportunity to partake of communion with us. So we hope you'll join us. We hope we see you there. And God bless, guys. Thanks for joining us.
He's alone. to the temple to share their good news. Preachers and teachers of that day asked him what happened. I was born blind. He healed me and now I can see.